Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett. Hi, welcome back to Design Oracles. Today, we are going to talk about the Zen view.
Yes, we're going to talk about the exterior spaces and how to create beautiful views from your interior so you can feel connected and energized.
Because views are so important, and of course the word Zen makes us all feel like we're calm and at peace with ourselves and the world, right? So looking at a view like that is what we want to try and achieve when we're laying out the house.
And I always find it fascinating early on when we're working with a client, figuring out maybe they have a lot where the house and how the house is going to be placed on that lot. Because views come into play at that point too, right, Diane?
Definitely.
Like where the sun comes in and maybe breezes, or maybe there's a special tree we want to look at. Maybe there's a neighbor we want to avoid looking at. That kind of thing. So it starts there,
all
right?
All of those things. And so how high do we want to set the house up on the lot? And is it closer to the street or is it further away from the street? And thinking about all those things. Now, also, if you have a smaller lot, maybe it's like in town, we usually are, there might not necessarily be a view outside of those property lines. So we're creating a view within your space.
Yeah. So that's what becomes important then when you don't have a view that you're already looking at, is to position the house with enough space in one area of the house to create a yard view that gives you that Zen feeling and gives you something to look at if there's nothing already there.
Yeah, because you want to enjoy it every day and have this beautiful thing you're looking at. It's kind of the essence of any great view. And so we want to make the most of it by siding the house properly or creating the house to look at some view we create.
Yeah. And I think it's a mistake to not incorporate that in early on in the design process, because it relates so much to where the windows go and how big the windows are. And then, of course, where you're going to sit to watch to see that view. So it plays into furniture plan and all of those things, and connection to the outside and how you're going to pass from in to out. So maybe there is a screen porch over a portion of it so that you can sit there and enjoy that view. And you want to make sure those connections work. So it's really a holistic thing. You want to incorporate the lot planning when you're planning the house as well.
Yeah. So we have some clients currently that on a house we're working with, and it's going to be a stellar view, and they wanted to kind of create a courtyard space. And so they wanted the master bedroom and with a screen porch off of it as part of the view, the living room, the courtyard, and then the guest bedroom. Normally, not everybody gives the guest bedroom one of the best views of the house, right?
Yeah.
But they must have a lot of guests.
They must like their guests.
And they must like them because they'll have them stay and have a part of the best view in the house. So it's also looking at priorities of how what rooms want to have those views.
Yes. Yeah, so you got to prioritize, figure out the connections, and then you have to start figuring out materials for that view. Is it just a lawn? And then are there trees around the border of that lawn? Do you need something to look at, like a water feature? If you don't have a pool, maybe you want to create those kind of moments with, maybe you add a fireplace or a water feature, or maybe a little bricked in private garden off of the master bedroom for a cup of coffee, looking at maybe it's just some beautiful hedges that create little outdoor rooms. There's a lot of opportunities for different treatments. And then I also think, you know, for something to keep in mind is to always think in 3D. So for instance, you know, a landscaper will come in and lay in swells in on the lot so that you get a little bit of topographical interest, right?
Yeah, right.
In that space.
Yeah, there was back in the, it's like the 1700s or so, the one of the big things they used to do was called the ha-ha.
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. So basically, it was almost like a 3 or 4 foot drop in the land, and they would purposely make it. And I guess they called it a ha-ha because you didn't know it was there. And so as you're looking, it looks like all of a sudden there's this big
drop
in vista, but there actually isn't.
It's just a few feet. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Got it.
If you go to Bath, they in England, they have a really great example of that in the big lawn by the circle and the crescent, it's called.
So it's kind of faking you out, making it feel like you've got this interesting topography that maybe you don't already actually have that you've created.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think the balance of that, too, like I'm just thinking of beautiful gardens that I've seen where it's all about either it's about creating little nooks and crannies and passageways and pathways, or it's creating big vistas where you've got that kind of pool in the center and it's linear and sort of beautiful coping around the outside and maybe a line of trees, or it's a curved, Diane's favorite,
the kidney shaped
pool.
Right. Some of those left over from the 80s, right,
yeah,
that we all
exactly.
have to deal with and don't necessarily have the resources to dig it out and build a new one, so we kind of work with it.
Yeah, and I always think that it's important to, when as an interior designer, considering the materials on the inside, to understand what materials on the outside are going to be. So we'll always think, what is the house going to be built of course, and then how does that relate to maybe the patio material that's going in? Maybe it's brick pavers, maybe it's rock, maybe it's porcelain tiles, whatever that is. That has to be considered when you're choosing interior as well. And then what will it look like? Will it be hot when the sun hits it? And then I think lighting is a big part of this and our natural affinity for light.
Yeah, there's definitely what Christopher Alexander refers to as the tapestry of light and dark. So, you know, people by nature are phototropic, which photosynthesis from the sun.
We're drawn to light.
Yeah, we just kind of, we're either moved toward the light, or if we're sitting stationary, we tend to turn towards the light, almost like how plants do when you, you know, sometimes we turn them in the window. And also probably why people love window seats again, which we just talked about in our Intimacy Gradient podcast. But the light places define... are then defined by the darker places. So some areas that don't have quite as many windows then help us enjoy the ones that have a whole bunch more light. And sometimes we necessarily don't want to be in all that light. We want to be in the darker area. So it's interesting because right now I'm designing a lake house and she wants her bedroom to be where she gets the most amount of daylight and the moonlight and everything. We have three walls of windows and two skylights. And I said, I'm actually a bit concerned that you're going to be blown away, especially when there is a full moon, because it is so incredible. Plus with the lake, all the reflection, it's even brighter. And I said, I just want you to think about it. So we took away one window.
Yeah, she gave up one. That's all.
So she's still thinking. So we'll see. I just said, I just want to make sure that you're going to, you know,
that's
be okay.
Funny.
And I kind of explained also it's the celebration of more of the solid wall against those windows that then helps create that Zen view.
Yeah, you can't have openness without closedness. You can't have dark without light. You can't have highs without lows. These things are in design, play off of each other, right? So, you know, maybe there is like a little side garden. This is what I would love to create in my backyard, a little side garden that from the house you can't see. So it's a surprise when you come around the corner from the house to have this little side sitting area that I could escape to and just sort of feel separate and not see the house. And not, you know, and just kind of be off on my own in a little nook, maybe for reading. But then you want to think about that big open space in the center, and maybe that, you know, that's where you want to create a pond or maybe an outdoor fire pit or a fireplace. But having those open and closed areas, we've all seen those very beautiful, expansive lawns. They're kind of nebulous and undefined in a way, unless there's some sort of visual interest in them or some kind of a wall at the back or something that kind of sets boundary on it. that helps you understand and perceive the actual size of it. So that all those rules we use for the interior is the same as, you know, what happens on the outside.
Well, kind of like using trellises. It's not fully enclosed, but it just gives you that sense of a smaller, more intimate covered space.
Sure. Right? And you can even do little low brick walls or stone mm-hmm. walls and around the fire pit area or just a little gathering spot. So creating those moments in a funny way, you know, we have these clients who have this backyard that has only one small area for games for the kids, like the only one section of flat lawn. And it's very, very precious to them. They don't want to mess with that because they can put up the badminton net or the volleyball net. And so you want to preserve those kinds of spaces. But if that whole yard was that, it wouldn't be as precious to them. It wouldn't be as interesting. It wouldn't be you know, the rest of the yard would be undefined. And so it's nice to have those little defined outdoor spaces, even when you have a big area. And then creating things like, you know, everybody loves that when you drive through neighborhoods and you see beautiful outdoor hanging lights up.
Oh, yeah. That also kind of creates mm-hmm. like a ceiling or enclosed effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it brings just a sense of intimacy and celebration to a space and just kind of creates a mood. So,
mm-hmm. And fireplaces outside also. And that can be a view whether maybe let's say you're in an in-town area. And so that could be part of creating a view is looking out. And then there's a fireplace outside because a lot of times people like to gather around fireplaces and you can build this beautiful fireplace that you look at. Another thing is thinking about pool cabanas.
Yes.
And kind of those structures that are out near the pool and they're kind of more shade devices, but they might have rooms that then maybe have the big sliding door so they can be fully open or not open. They have bathrooms that can be used for people using the pool. We just did one that it has more of the outdoor cooking area and a seating area. It has a fireplace. And it's open to the pool. Now, what was interesting about this property was we had the kidney-shaped pool. Mm-hmm. We kept the kidney-shaped pool. The original design of the house had nothing looking at the pool. You basically went down out the kitchen to a back porch, down around. And you could, and that wasn't until you saw the pool. And in front of the back was a great view, which actually had been completely overgrown. So we cut down a bunch of the overgrown foliage and all of a sudden, wow, there's this amazing view. And sometimes when you get that amazing view, it's almost like it's going to take your soul out, right? So you still want to create this like
protective
intimacy gradient. Mm-hmm. So we created a nice little back porch and then also added more windows and, you know, rearranged the space. So now you have a view of the pool to the right, to the side as you go out. And then we built a cabana, which basically is in between the view and the pool. So it kind of gives you some privacy. But through the cabana, you can still see the view. And then we also added the fireplace. So we created this other small, intimate space out there. And I have to say, it feels really great. And I can't even tell there's a kidney-shaped pool there anymore.
You can't see it anymore.
No. And all the material is the same, you know, on the decking and everything. Mm-hmm. And then everything just flows so nicely with the canoe coping on the pool and mm-hmm. the material in the cabana. So just, you know, thinking about how all that works really well together.
So I'm glad you brought up the cabana thing because it brings me to thinking about times that I've been asked by a client to help them create sort of an outdoor space separate from the house, maybe with the screen porch that's disconnected from the house. And the thing I always think is it's hard to do that well unless you have a bathroom nearby because it's a long walk back to the house, mm-hmm. depending on what the size of the lot is. And everybody wants to be able to be near the drinks, the food and the drinks, some sort of water or grill area. And then also you want to think about pathways and connection that way because you can create quite a mess if you are creating an outdoor space that you're going to need to travel to over a muddy area, et cetera. So the hardscaping on the spaces needs to be considered. You know, that turf grass that people are putting in is actually great and pretty mm-hmm. green. I mean, literally green and also figuratively green. I was actually at a property yesterday that had that kind of a lawn, and their lawn gets a lot of use with kids and two dogs and squirrels and a pool and people. Yeah. And, of course, it looks pristine. It drains well, and they have plenty of plants, too, for some natural materials mixed in. But it's just something to think about, because I do know that I've been to houses where people very excitedly, without consulting a professional, build a separate, just sort of dry, covered outdoor area with not with a good connection to the house or an ability to get back and forth, and it becomes a lonely place that they don't feel like they can take food. It's too long of a walk to carry your tray of food out, and then you forget something and you have to go back. And so it really has to be well thought out and connected, whether just well connected visually, or it also needs to be considered how you'll use it. Mm-hmm. Is it just a book you're taking out there and a cup of coffee? That's easy. But if you're going to spend time out there and eat, you might need access to a sink or a bathroom or mm-hmm. More of a formal cabana type thing. And I know awnings, too, can help with kind of connections to the outside, right? If you're not building an entire structure, but you want to have some sort of outdoor roofing material that just creates a little spot where you might be able to stay and be if it's drizzling outside, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yeah, we actually just designed a new house, and we have a separate cabana. And now it has like a big living room space with the TV, and we also have a really large bar. And then we have those folding windows that are like accordion windows that then open up, so the bar is also to the outside. And we basically did an overhang over that of about 5 feet so that it will still remain covered if it's inclement weather, plus also shade.
So thinking about outdoor kitchens and that type of thing, I've probably said this before on the podcast, but it's important to keep that Zen view from the house and to remember, what do I want to be looking at when I look out? So you have to balance the activity you want to be doing outside with the view you want from the outside. So this is all set up for me to say that oftentimes when people design an outdoor kitchen that isn't placed well, it can feel lonely to look out in the middle of February and see your kitchen, the stainless steel, sort of dripping with water. And nothing wrong with having it. It's wonderful to have. It may not be what you want to look at in February or March, or you might want it off to the side or in a walled area. Lonely kitchens are not a great view, and also they demand attention as far as taking care of them and the upkeep. So it's a wonderful thing to have. You want to really consider that your outdoor spaces be something that are beautiful year-round to look at, what mm-hmm. you're looking at, and easy to maintain.
Yes, right. And actually that same house, they did not want the outdoor cooking area anywhere near any of the seating areas, because in the past they said it's just smoky and it gets everywhere and it's not enjoyable. So we actually kind of have it off to the side, and we did a scullery.
There we go.
And so it's pretty easy to access mm-hmm. from the main house. Mm-hmm. And all those smells and smoke won't go bother anyone sitting at the bar.
Yeah, that's very wise.
Or by the pool.
That's wise. Yeah, I think it's about what your view is, and then the maintenance of that view, and then accessing what you're going to is something you think about. And you can address that, like I've said many times before, with the window treatments. But you want to create a space that doesn't take too much work for you. Mm-hmm. you want to add it to your list of maintenance things, but also make it as minimal as, or whatever your level is for upkeep. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Building is very extravagant outdoor kitchen can be demanding to keep the materials up. And
yeah.
But that's why it's great if it's a cabana, because it's a space you can work close off mm-hmm. and isn't as open to the elements.
And I also feel like that back porch is really important when you're looking out at this great view, because, again, it helps kind of contain you from that bigness.
Yes,
I guess
exactly.
You could say.
Parameters.
Yeah. Gives you some, mm-hmm. We just it's under construction right now, this house where it's a remodel addition. And again, it had no views to this amazing view.
Yeah.
So we have now, you know, got it all open, rearranged everything. The kitchen has a fantastic view and the living room, and it goes out to this great big back porch. And also we have a really large outdoor kitchen there. And that, again, it's off the scullery, so it's not blocking anyone's view and also shouldn't hopefully be too smoky or anything. This person is a very big outdoor chef. So
Oh, neat.
A lot of outdoor cooking appliances that are going in out there.
That's funny.
But the outdoor porch, I feel like, gives you that gradient, intimacy gradient, that then is going out to the Zen view. And also just when you feel that covering and you're sitting there and maybe there's a fireplace or a fire pit or something, you just can sit and enjoy the view and just, ah.
You can be in nature without being completely in nature. You're just that little bit of a gradient, like that connection to the outside, a step through. So, yeah, those are important things to think about. And I always love, too, we're actually working on a renovation on a house now that has a lake view and a tiny front yard that's right up against the street because the houses are all positioned to have as much space in the back, to maximize at the back, so that when you come into the house, you've come in from a high street level down a narrow stair to a grand entry. But it's not very deep. And then it opens up in a very dramatic way to the lake. You can see the lake from there. So all of the space, the outdoor space, is on the back of the house, not at the front of the house. And so it feels like a surprise. You know, you've got this kind of narrow front entry, and then it just goes bam. So that drama is really nice. It also, I love the way that feels very private and protected. It almost feels like, and it is kind of a secondary home, like a space just for you and just for the people you invite there. You know, it's your little piece of the lake to look at. And those houses are oftentimes, because there are many of them kind of lined up along the shoreline there, they're built in such a way, ideally, that they don't necessarily open up to the neighbors. You can't really tell that the neighbors are there. You cannot be intimately connected to what's happening in their backyard. So there are some, and these are older properties, so they were well done, some of them. There's some walls, basically, that are built up, some groundwork that was done, site work, to build up the walls on either side. So you do feel like you're kind of, you can pretend you're in Greece or something, and you're looking out at the water. Fine. So that's a really great way to take advantage of a beautiful vista, feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere, but you are, you know, surrounded in a neighborhood. So I guess really it's really think that through when you're designing a space. You want to think about the outside as much as you do the inside. Everything from positioning the house and the light and the breeze to the view in all seasons. And then that connection to the neighbors and and then the moonlight and the street lights and all of these things come into play.
Yeah, sunrises and sunsets as well. There was, when you said the lake, that made me think of another house we did where we had a big porch off of the living room, and then we had the big pool, and all three of those things were the same width or length, and it was a negative edge pool. And then, as I said, the ha-ha, this is kind of like a pool ha-ha, then all of a sudden there was the lake. You didn't even see the ground that was between the bottom of that pool and the lake. And so that made quite a dramatic Zen view.
Yeah. That's when you really can't escape. You can feel like you really escape.
Yeah. And that would also be if someone really loves water, too.
Yeah.
So, because there are some people where they say, I just love water, and I just love to sit and look at the water. And then there's some people that just love to look at rolling
trees.
Hills and trees and so there's all of that to think about, too.
And so I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about, I think you mentioned about light and connection to light. So we're doing some landscaping at my studio, and the landscape architect has mentioned many times the types of trees she wants to plant next to a little sitting patio that she's creating, and how the sun will come through those trees and create at a certain time of day a very dappled light that's sort of just magical and sprinkled. And she describes it so beautifully. And I think, you know, I've seen that, and I hadn't really considered that is such an important part of landscape design and outside design and design in general for how it relates to the house, but just thinking through how is the light going to come through those trees and planting trees where you're going to get that play of light and that interest. There's nothing better than kind of, especially when you live in central Texas, to have that play of shadow and brightness, because there is so much brightness. So you can't have the dark without the light. You can't have the light without the dark. And then it's nice to have a little bit of mood created by that as well. So mm-hmm. sort of soften that harsh light we get in this region.
Yeah, definitely. Thinking about all that is, I mean, I love dappled light.
Yeah, and then using, she's thinking of using all of these different types of stone materials to create a pattern mm-hmm. in the ground. So again, it's an urban space. I'm looking out at a storage shed in an alley.
Right, yeah.
But
she's creating these amazing zen views.
Yeah, so that when I open the shades in my office, instead of looking at the alleyway that mm-hmm. maybe has caught water from the rain,
right,
I'm looking at this dappled light on this sort of pebble patio. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about that. And it just makes me consider how, you know, that it's so interesting that the scale of working outside, when you go as an interior designer from working inside and small mm-hmm. scale, and sometimes we design, you know, when we design the actual furniture, it's really, really, you know, what are the screws going to be and how are the screws going to be hidden to
right.
that scaling it up to, you know, all under the sky.
Same trees.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The sky. And so I always find that interesting. It's like the same principles, but just on a different scale.
Yeah, definitely. Like how we talked about the different ceiling heights.
Yep, mm-hmm. exactly. Those passages and creating mood and moments.
Well, I think that's all we have to say today about the Zen view.
Yes.
And we'll
see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.